Welcome to some amazing discussions from the voices of young America. Welcome to Women Investing in Women and Girls. In the next hour, you'll hear from leading women in academics, business, entertainment, and more. Now, here are your hosts.
She makes it her goal to help small businesses succeed, and she's an integral part of Women Investing in Women. And without further ado, thank you and welcome to Women Investing in Women and Girls. I am your host, Michelle Jaffe, and we are joined today by Claire Hayden, and our guest today is Patrice Strong-Register. So welcome, Patrice. How are you doing today?
Thank you, Michelle. I'm doing fabulous. I'm excited to be here and share with the audience today, and it's just going to be great.
We love it. We're so happy that you're able to join us. And just to start off the interview, why don't you mind telling us a little bit about yourself and your background?
Okay. Well, I am CEO of PLR Services, and we provide administrative support services. We do web design and graphic designs. And that kind of came out of a need to just step out on my own and become an entrepreneur. My previous background, I was in law enforcement for about 3.5 years. And then soon after that, I got a job in the corporate world with Glock Incorporated, which is a handgun manufacturer. And that kind of stemmed my urge or the initiative of starting my own business is when I was with Glock, because I was with them for about 14 years. So.
Awesome. So what exactly made you want to catch that entrepreneurial bug, if you will?
Well, you know, they talk about the glass ceiling. Mm-hmm. I felt that in that corporate job. And so at that point in time, I'd said, you know, I could do this for myself. I have the ability. I enjoy just being on my own and setting my own hours, so to speak, and just working with people on an individual basis. So when I looked at, you know, I did some feasibility studies and see if the idea that I had would work. Mm-hmm. Tested that with, you know, my potential clients, and I saw that, hey, there is a need for what I want to do. And then I just made some changes in my lifestyle so that I could be able to do it, because at that time I had no money to really start my own business right off the bat. So I had to save for that. And that's really what made me catch that bug and just go out and do it.
Definitely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What I noticed from other guests that I've interviewed, mm-hmm. Is that when they catch that entrepreneurial bug, sometimes they, like you said, they don't have the resources to start their own business. Mm-hmm. But then what's so interesting to me is that they not only start their own business, but often their business is out there to help other businesses succeed. Right. So that's really, really interesting to me that you're able to make that jump. Mm-hmm. And how was it to actually make the jump between law enforcement to business and entrepreneurship?
Easy.
It was easy.
Well, one, you know, being in law enforcement, you're dealing with the public, mm-hmm. a lot, right? So you learn how people are. You know, you have to learn a little bit of psychology and working with people and
right.
the thought processes that people go through. So that kind of gave me an edge to be an entrepreneur, because again, I'm working with the consumer. I got to figure out what their needs are, right?
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, I have to learn to listen. And I think that's very key in any business, is listening to your customers. So that's where I kind of got that ability to just make that transition.
Love it. So let's mm-hmm. move on to the PLR Services, your company.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, how did you get started with it? What services does it offer? Just to go over through that again.
Okay. Well, I started in 1999. And first, you know, of course, it started as a part-time mm-hmm. basis, because I still was working my full-time job, again, making some lifestyle changes so that I could be able to really start the business, because I didn't have ready resources, mm-hmm. right? So what we provide, and I was already doing it pretty much in the corporate world, as, you know, because the company that Glock, they actually came to the U.S. They're from Austria. It's an Austrian-made gun. And so when they came to the U.S., the gentleman was actually working out of his basement. And so he didn't have certain structures in place. Like, you know, I was instrumental in starting up their invoicing department, so the billing, the customer service department, you know, just helping with the IT side of the business. And so some of those roles I was already doing. So when I started my business, I saw that that was a very important piece in a startup.
Mm-hmm.
So when what we provide is we provide that administrative piece. So if a company starts out, you need to have your licensing. You need to make sure you have your financials together. You have a bookkeeping system in place. You have to have pretty much all of the structure needed for the foundation of the business. And then you put together your marketing plan. Who are your customers? You know, you do a feasibility study, which is what I did when I wanted to make sure the business idea was going to work mm-hmm. first, right? So I help businesses put that whole piece together. And then on the website, the side, you know, I learned, taught myself how to create a website. I'm very good at that. You know, I just kind of grab a book and I'll start to read and say, okay, I'm going to play a little bit. You know, I'm not afraid to make a mistake, mm-hmm. you know. So I started with the web design services. And then I met my fiance. He was in the IT division. So I started adding that as an additional service, is providing the IT services. So we partnered together, and that's how I'm able to offer the IT services.
Perfect. So, again, that your company offers administrative services. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important because many times the people who start their own businesses, they're one person. And it's so hard to try to juggle all of these different mm-hmm. hats. Mm-hmm. A normal company, a corporation, they have whole teams for each one of those, for like accounting and marketing, things like that. So for one person to take on all those responsibilities is overwhelming, mm-hmm. right? So how do you help them achieve success in each one of those areas?
Well, I help them to really look at what their structure is, what their business is, and then we put a plan together of what team members that they will need, because mm-hmm. it's about a team. It really is about building that team. What type of attorney that they need to reach out to, what type of accountant, if they need an accountant, maybe they just in the beginning only need a bookkeeper. So we might start with bookkeeping services. You know, there's many online services that you can utilize. And I kind of tout myself as a virtual assistant. So a lot of the work that I do, I don't necessarily have to be in their office. Mm-hmm. I can do it virtually. So, and that's how I kind of teach them to start looking at it from that standpoint. You can hire a VA a lot cheaper than you can have an employee in mm-hmm. your office. So that can help build your team out right there. And then to your growth, find that growth. And if you want to expand into an office setting where you actually have actual, I shouldn't say actual employees, because, you know, you know, an assistant is an employee, right? Mm-hmm. But a physical person in an office. And sometimes companies jump right into that, and then they find themselves, they can't meet the overhead, because mm-hmm. the overhead is very expensive.
Right.
It's something you have to be aware of when you're starting your business. And perfect. Nowadays, home offices are such a big thing, you know, home-based services. So I think that's where I would kind of work with the business to kind of outline their needs first, of course.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then when people start their business too, that we often see is that they have this vision, and mm-hmm. sometimes they don't even have a background in business. They just have expertise in maybe that the type of business that they want to have. Mm-hmm. Like if they're a yoga teacher, they like yoga, but they don't know the business aspect of it. So mm-hmm. when you deal with these business owners, are they kind of shocked to see how much they really have to put into their business to get it certified and to make it a viable business?
Mm-hmm. I am shocked. I'm shocked. And yes, they do find themselves, it seems overwhelming to them sometimes, but mm-hmm. you know, if you have a plan and you take the time to just, you know, line out exactly all the things that you need to have within your business, then it's really pretty easy. And just setting up that system so that, and it's all about systems, setting up that system and then making it automated.
Love it. So mm-hmm. what are some tips that you do have for small business owners?
Tips that I have. First of all, research. I think research is going to be very important. When you have an idea, research the idea and see if it's something that people really need and want. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, I think you will feel, I think you would feel like you have a great idea, but if nobody's buying into it, then it's not such a great idea, right? It's not going to be viable. The other tip I would have is bring in your passion. If you're passionate about it, you'll stick with it and you'll do whatever it takes to really get it going. Otherwise, you know, usually you'll just give up when, especially when it seems overwhelming for you. Mm-hmm. You'll lose track.
Definitely. Couldn't agree more. We will get back to this after the break.
Absolutely.
But we are going to go to a break. Once again, I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe, and you're listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. Remember, we do want to hear from all of you out there. Go to facebook.com/womeninvesting or on Twitter, #womeninvest and #girlsinvest. Stay tuned.
Join Kid Chef Eliana for Cool Kids Cook. Eliana is one of the youngest published cookbook authors and will show you that there are all kinds of goodness in food, beyond the chicken nuggets and fries. On our show, we'll discover cuisine from around the world, learn some great cooking techniques, speak with some of the world's top chefs, and share recipes. Kid Chef Eliana is here for you on Cool Kids Cook every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Kids channel. Bon appetit!
We don't care how you got here. We're just glad you showed up. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Join us every week for the Paper Hope Street Team. None of our topics are off the table. This is a program that you can listen to and discuss with your family. From the pages of the Paper Hope blog to the internet radio airwaves, we'll talk about the topics you want to talk about, such as friendship and relationships, or some more controversial issues about sex, drugs, and underage drinking. Join the Paper Hope Street Team live every Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, on the Voice America Kids channel. Let's talk soon.
You're listening to Voice America Kids. Real kids, real talk.
You are
radio.
Listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. Be sure to join in the discussion by tweeting us at #WomenInvest or on Facebook at Women Investing in Women. We want to hear what you have to say. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to Women Investing in Women and Girls. I am your host, Michelle Jaffe, and we are continuing our conversation with Claire Hayden and Patrice Strong-Register. And before we went to the break, we talked about Patrice's business, PLR Services, and the types of benefits that small businesses are offered. And to go along with that, I'd love to talk about now how small businesses can branch out. Sometimes, when they become successful in their own right and they want to expand and to create, have more of a market share, how do small businesses do that?
Typically, when they're in the growth phase and expansion, typically they either add on additional services that they may offer, or they look at an exit strategy where they're actually trying to sell a portion of their business to a larger corporation or a company. So in order to do that, I think the best way to do that is making sure that your business has reached that plateau or has reached its fullest potential. And then you have a better chance of having offers to come to you to be able to buy into your program. Now, I know some of the companies just develop like simple software and someone, you know, Google or some large corporation would come up and just buy it because they thought it was a great idea. And it's usually, usually a good idea to make sure that everything that they're doing within their business is in complete order, so that when that opportunity comes along, you're ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're ready to offer that business up. And then you got to make sure that's what you really want to do as well.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, no, I think that's important, because small business owners, they might have really big goals and ideas, but if they're not comfortable where they are, then it'd be so hard for them to try to be even higher and have more branches than they do at the moment.
Absolutely.
So the breakdown of the businesses that do get your services, are they mostly women owned? Is there any type of trend in the type of businesses that you deal with?
The businesses that I've dealt with in the past have been kind of half and half, actually, both women owned and, male dominated businesses. So, I do encourage more women to get into business, and because of all the women's organizations that I belong to, I do encourage them to step out and research to see what types of industries that could be a good fit for them as a woman, and pretty much not to limit themselves, because, you know, sometimes I think as a woman, we kind of get fearful of certain types of businesses, you know, because we feel, oh, I could never do that. Well, yeah, you can, you know.
Mm-hmm. So the women-owned businesses that you do work with, do you see any trends within those? Do they seem to have more issues getting inside of a market? Is it easier for them? Anything like that?
It is a little tougher, especially when it comes to financing. I find that a lot of the women-owned businesses have trouble with finding the right financing for their business if they are needing additional resources to help grow their businesses. So that seems to be a little unequal there.
And do you encourage them to seek what kind of funding? Do you maybe we've talked to guests in the past that have crowdfunding platforms or they try to find funding through angel investors or venture capitalists. So what type of pathway do you see is the most successful in your eyes for your businesses?
Well, there's a lot of organizations out there now that are now recognizing that there's a lot of inequality in funding for women. So like the SBA. Now the SBA has what they call set-aside funding for women-owned businesses or minority businesses. So I would encourage women to look at those organizations, because they have actually set aside a certain amount of funding available to those women. The only thing is that they got to make sure that their structure is in place, because you do work with, when you go for that type of funding, you are working with the traditional banks, right? So with those banks, they want to see financials, they want to see how long you've been in business, they want to see that you have a system in place, you know, a business plan. So I encourage women to make sure that you have all your documents in place, so that when you go for funding, there's no excuse for them not to, you know, to offer you that particular funding that you're looking for. So
right, great. You have so much expertise in trying to help small businesses succeed, and you are actually starting business seminars, and they're called Striving to Thriving, correct?
Yes.
Mind explaining a little bit about that?
Yes. So I got the idea, since, you know, there are a lot of entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, consultants, coaches, and they are in business, but a lot of them are just barely making. I did some research, and most people are making less than $25,000 a year. And that's at right about 70%. That's a pretty high number. So one of the things I wanted to talk about in the Striving to Thriving seminars is, one, we look at how to attract the perfect client to your business. We look at your business structure. We also look at, are you consistent in your marketing? Because marketing is very, if people don't know you're there, then how will they buy your services? So marketing is such a key factor. And then setting aside a budget for marketing. Because I find a lot of times when I'm working with small business owners, they don't have any type of budget for the advertising, for the marketing. Mm-hmm. You know, they just kind of wing it or mm-hmm. fly by the seat, you know. And so I think it's very important. So in these seminars, I kind of give them strategies to be able to create a thriving business for themselves. So through the marketing, through the network is so important. You know, the money is in the follow-up, right? Mm-hmm. So if you meet someone, you want to continue that relationship. You don't want to just go and collect cards, business cards.
Right.
You want to make sure you reach out to those people and let them know what you're doing. Stay in front of them. Send them a little card or, you know, something just inexpensive that they'll remember you. Even as far as inviting them to coffee, or if you're going to another event, say, hey, I met you at this event. I know about this event that's coming up. Would you like to go with me or meet me there or something? So just continuing that relationship, because I think your net worth could determine your net worth.
Definitely. So. That's awesome. I love that. Your mm-hmm. network can determine your net worth. That's lovely. Mm-hmm. So what types of businesses are you targeting, or who is your average attendee of these seminars in your mind?
Well, I have such a variety. I have people that are coaches. I have consultants, independent consultants. We have companies that may be in... I'm trying to think who was at my last seminar right now. digital services, okay. IT services, an accountant. I had life coaches. And also, I actually had a student there, an ASU student there. So
lots of variety. Mm-hmm. So an ASU student. So where and when was the last seminar that you did?
Just this past Wednesday.
Lovely. How did that one go?
It was great.
Great.
Yeah.
How many seminars have you had in total since you started?
Well, since I started, I did my kickoff in June.
Okay.
June 30th in my hometown, Macon, Georgia.
Awesome.
And so that was the kickoff. It was very, I had gotten a good response, especially in such a short time frame, mm-hmm. because I got the idea. And with me, when I get an idea, I'm like, okay, we got to run with
it. How do we do it? Yes.
So, and I had set a time. I was actually going to Georgia anyway for visiting with family. Mm-hmm. And then I said, you know, while I'm there, I should do a seminar.
Definitely.
And so that's what I did. And I was able to get the Small Business Development Center involved. Also, the City of Macon Economic Development Business Development Agency involved. And some other city council members involved. So I got a great response. And great. So it went well.
Awesome. And, mm-hmm. you know, small business owners are always looking for the best resources that they can get when they're mm-hmm. starting their business. So how can our listeners find where and when you're going to have your seminars when they're coming to their area?
Okay. So they can go to www.strivingtothrivingseminars.plrservices.com.
Love it. Thank you. We are going to take another break. Once again, I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe, and you are listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. Remember to go online at facebook.com/womeninvesting and on Twitter, #womeninvest and #girlsinvest. Stay tuned.
Are you ready to explore the amazing world under the sea? Your host is a certified scuba diver, explorer. He likes to cook. And most of all, he's just a kid like you. You'll find out a lot more lies under the sea than what you've seen on TV, in movies, and even in aquatic parks. You'll learn about all kinds of fish, as well as other sea creatures. We'll take you to some exotic destinations and so much more. There's a whole big world under sea just waiting to be discovered. Tune in to Under the Sea, Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Voice America Kids.
Sometimes we may sound strange, but remember, we're just kids with opinions. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
There's so much going on in the tech field. The tech team is here to sort it all out so that you know exactly what you need to get and what you should avoid. In this age of cell phones and text messaging and new discoveries every single day, you need to be informed. We'll bring you previews of new products, technology news, and help you make the right decision when you are out there buying that new MP3 player, cell phone, or mobile device. Don't do a thing until you've tuned in to the tech team. Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids.
Looking for an on-air community where teens talk and the world listens? Tune in to Express Yourself, an entertaining adolescent fusion radio program where passion and possibility populate the airwaves. Our vivacious teen hosts and star-studded field reporters from around the country offer stimulating segments and invigorating viewpoints connecting with the world campus of young people. We'll talk with cool celebrities, exhilarating experts, and tenacious teens with experience. Tuesdays at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids. Express yourself. What do you want to do? Are you interested in the performing arts? If so, make sure you tune in to the Angel and Harmony Show. Angel and Harmony have experience singing, acting, and performing in general, and want to help you live out your dreams of the future. Whether you are interested in acting, modeling, dancing, or singing, this is the show for you. We'll even give you the scoop on being behind the scenes if you're a little shy. The Angel and Harmony Show is heard live every Thursday at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel.
We don't care how you got here. We're just glad you showed up. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
What's cooking? Join Kid Chef Eliana for Cool Kids Cook. Eliana is one of the youngest published cookbook authors and will show you that there are all kinds of goodness in food beyond the chicken nuggets and fries. On our show, we'll discover cuisine from around the world, learn some great cooking techniques, speak with some of the world's top chefs, and share recipes. Kid Chef Eliana is here for you on Cool Kids Cook every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Kids channel. Bon appetit!
Keep it right here. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
You are listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. Be sure to join in the discussion by tweeting us at hashtag Women Invest or on Facebook at Women Investing in Women. We want to hear what you have to say. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to Women Investing in Women and Girls. I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe. We are continuing our conversation with Ms. Patrice Register, strong register, by the way. And we were talking about your involvement with PLR services and your business seminars as well, and providing so many services to different starting businesses. And besides this, you were involved in many other things as well, including Jetro Biofuel. So do you mind going into that?
Sure. I try to keep myself very busy.
Yes. It's good.
You know what they say about an idle mind, right?
Yes.
So, yes, this is, I'm very excited about this project because it is something new. And mm-hmm. also I get to learn a lot of new great things about alternative fuels and renewable energy, clean energy. Right now, the president has done some mandates on trying to clean up, you know, the environment and for us to be socially conscious of what we're putting into our air, right? So I've started working with a company called Jetro Biofuels. We started this company in 2012, and Jetro Biofuels is a way to provide biodiesel and jet fuel from a non-food source. So we're not competing with our food source like soybean, corn, those things that we need to eat mm-hmm. from, which is great. And natural biofuels actually is in its second year now. Yes, second year. And we've actually started our own plantation. So it's not a native plant to Arizona. So it is a subtropical plant usually found in India, Brazil, Mexico, some of those areas. And we've actually imported the seeds here and we planted them and they're doing well. I'm very excited about it because now we're starting to see some seedling. And so what we will do once those seeds are mature, we will take those and extract the oil from them and create a raw oil biodiesel fuel, and we'll do some additives, and so it's ready for consumer.
Love it. Yeah. So what is your role in this company?
I am the administrator, the director, and my role is to primarily do business development and also provide look for funding for our project.
Awesome. So this is a completely different direction than what you've had in the past. Mm-hmm. So what led you to take on a project like this?
Well, again, it was something interesting because I am very concerned with our environment. I do recycle, you know, I make sure that I've also started my own garden now. I'm growing some of my own food, and I do composting and all this stuff. So I am very, so when I met the founder of the company, his name is Lai, and he's been in aviation for over 30 years. He's currently a captain. So when I met him and he was telling me about his project, I was like, yeah, I want it. He said, I need help with business development. I need help with this administrative stuff. So, well, that's right down my alley. So we decided to partner together and try to get the project moving forward. So
I love that. I think what's so important and special is that the work that you do through PLR Services, mm-hmm. and your background in business is so versatile, and really you can combine your skill set with your passion, and you can have your foot in the door for all these different little companies. Mm-hmm. And of course, this isn't a little company. This is a really big company. It's taking on a really big task. And yes. It's so important now, yes. more than ever, yes. to take on this task. So to have those skills is just, it's wonderful, right?
Yeah, it's exciting. Absolutely.
Definitely.
Really excited about it.
So where do you see this company in 5 years or so? It's made so much progress in just 2 years.
I know. Well, in 5 years, our goal is to be completely commercialized so that we can begin putting the fuel out on the market. And I think you did a little research on the fact that test flights have already been done,
yes.
with this particular product. But the goal is to make sure that it's growing well here in Arizona, because there's nowhere in the U.S. that it's really growing successfully as far as our seeds. I mean, there's people who have tried and maybe started just a little farm, but we want to have a full scale where we actually have 100,000 acres, mm-hmm. of this product growing.
It's so interesting. And going to another one of your involvements, besides this great cause of trying to get a different source of fuel for our world, but you've also been working with 85 Broads. Do you mind explaining what 85 Broads is?
Oh, wow. 85 Broads, now they have actually changed their name. It's called Elevate.
Right.
And Elevate primarily started with women in the financial arena. And it's a way, it's an opportunity for women to come together and share their strengths with other women, and just be in that role where the businesses, they're connecting with each other and they're being able to share their roles within their companies with other women. So it's just like a big connection kind of thing. So it's women investing in each other.
You mentioned earlier in the last section, you said that a network for a woman determines her net worth. So how have you seen that come to play with Elevate and the different networking that it promotes to its members?
Well, how I've seen that is because I've been able to meet a lot of women that are in that space where I was actually trying to get to. And so with that connection, I'm able to really grow, learning how they are doing it and then sharing with them what my goals are. And they've been able to help me to reach those goals. So that's how, I've been able to to expand myself, I was just recently, I didn't mention this earlier, but I was just recently named one of Arizona's 50 most influential women in Arizona business. And that's coming, being selected out of over 5,000 women-owned businesses here in Arizona.
So. Congratulations. Oh, what was it like to receive an honor like that?
It was exciting. They had a big celebration for all the women that were selected. It was 50 of us, and we were all at the, what's the name of the place now? It's kind of escaping my name, but it's in Scottsdale and a big venue there. And the magazine, we had women that were in biofuels. We had women that were in the medical space, in the technology space. So it was just really exciting to be a part of that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what I've noticed for the other people that we've interviewed, the other people that we've talked to, is that I mean, I feel like this just kind of embodies the whole idea that women are not just limiting themselves to one area of interest and being successful in one area. They're doing so many different things. Just like Absolutely. You said, you're also in biofuel, but you're also helping businesses and starting mm-hmm. businesses. And it's all really, really exciting to, mm-hmm. I'm sure, to have been in a room where some of these women are doing similar things and just incredible.
Right. Absolutely. It was very exciting. I was just so honored to be recognized.
Love it. And within Elevate, do you have a title through that as well?
I was the co-president of the organization a year and a half ago, and now I'm currently on the executive team. So I kind of stepped down because I was doing so much.
Yes.
It was like, so I've stepped down from one position to kind of express my interest in other areas and be able to be available for other things. So
awesome. And how you went a little bit into it, but how has this organization helped others, and how has it helped you personally, and in what ways has it helped you become successful in your own business?
Being involved, like I said, this is how I actually met some of the women that I'm working with now, even with Women Investing in Women. That's how Anu and I met. And that's where, you're going to these events and you're seeing what the other women are doing. And it's motivating.
Mm-hmm.
It's motivated me to step outside of that fear, because you do have that little bit of fear. You're thinking, I don't know if I'm qualified to do this. But then when you see and they're encouraging you, I think it's very important that you kind of grasp onto that and just ride someone's coattail, as they say, right?
Definitely. Yeah. Love it. We are going to take one more break for our discussion. Once again, you're listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. We want to hear from all of our listeners. Go to facebook.com/womeninvesting or on Twitter. Comment with #girlsinvest and #womeninvest. Stay tuned.
What about the world concerns you? Is it future success? Is it world issues? Are you just looking to change the world in general? Tune in to What Up World. It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, or what you look like. Everyone is entitled to the same chance for success. Follow your dreams. Move forward. Make a difference. Tune in to What Up World every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel.
We don't care how you got here. We're just glad you showed up. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
You're listening to Voice America Kids. Real kids, Real Talk
You are
Radio.
Listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. Be sure to join in the discussion by tweeting us at #WomenInvest or on Facebook at Women Investing in Women. We want to hear what you have to say. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to Women Investing in Women and Girls. We are at our last part of our conversation with Mrs. Patrice Strong-Register, and we are also joined by Claire Hayden as well. And before we went to the break, we talked more about your involvement with Jetro Biofuels and Elevate as well, and how that interaction with other female business owners has really helped you. Mm-hmm. And to go along with that, something that's, of course, very important to us here is Women Investing in Women. You've had such an important role in Women Investing in Women. So what I would like to do right now is just to go a little bit about your role and how you got involved with Women Investing in Women.
Mm-hmm. Well, wow. Women Investing in Women, when Anu approached me with the idea,
excuse me,
I was like, yeah, this is what we need, you know, and just sharing her passion behind it. It's like I talked earlier, passion is everything. You know, when you're starting something, you got to be passionate about it so to make it fly. And so when she approached me with it and said, you know, would you like to help? I was like, absolutely. You know, I want to be involved whatever level you want me involved in. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, for a while that was just her and I pushing a lot of different things. So she would have me contacting different agencies, doing research, you know, helping put on venue, you know, putting on events.
Mm-hmm.
We did a very successful summit in January, which was awesome, with a little over 120 attendees in a short time frame.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's just, I'm just really excited. Again, I can't express how I feel about women investing in women because I so much see the need of women getting together and really, truly seeing the passion that one woman would have for something that was important for her and then getting behind her.
Definitely.
You know, investing in her.
Definitely.
And not just financially investing, but actually, you know, so many times we've talked about different things and just, you know, we've even been upset about so many things that were happening and we're just being able to collaborate and really talk things through. So sometimes you just need that support,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that's what I think that makes this organization so great.
Definitely. Yes. And you mentioned the January summit and that has a special place in my heart because that's when I first got involved with this movement, actually as the check-in girl,
mm-hmm.
checking people in to the event. And now
and
I'm
thank
here.
Thank you very much.
Yes. And then, and that, that's where I met you for the first time. And I just got to see the full effect of what Women Investing Women is capable of. And it was just, it was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely understand your outlook on what this means to you because it means that to me as well, just how incredible it is.
Mm-hmm.
So what has been the highlight for you through your involvement with Women Investing in Women?
The travel.
What places have you traveled to?
Well, we went to Dubai, Oman, Muscat, Oman. We went to Doha and just, you know, kind of traveled the Middle East talking about Women Investing in Women. Been to New York. It's the first time I've ever been to New York.
Wow.
It was with Women Investing in Women. and I'm just looking forward to doing more of that, just getting involved and just seeing this organization grow.
Great. So you have had the opportunity to speak to women-owned businesses in America.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you've experienced that with both the Phoenix Summit and in New York when you mm-hmm. went there as well. But I'd love to know from you what your perception was when you traveled across the world and met other women owners of their businesses and the reception that you got from Women Investing Women and what you perceived that these women were doing in their own businesses.
Well, what I actually saw there was people were wanting to know more. They were like, this is great. Never experienced anything like this. So, and you can just see the excitement of wanting to get involved and the women, how they were really ready to collaborate with each other and really kind of pull together to bring something bigger than themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you said, it's a movement. And so the cultures, you know, yes, there was different in cultures, and you have to keep that in respect. But ultimately, the ultimate goal was the collaboration. and the camaraderie that you felt with those women, the connectivity.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's always powerful.
Definitely. I noticed that, I mean, across the board, just women are hungry for this type of, I want to say, outlet where they can mm-hmm. talk to each other about issues that they've all faced, including funding. That's, mm-hmm. like you said, that's a big issue for women.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to talk about things that they did to seek that funding and maybe mistakes that they made and how they're learning
mm-hmm.
from them.
Mm-hmm.
So how are you able to also contribute to that conversation of what was being addressed through those summits with your expertise and
right.
what you do?
Well, you know, I would always, if someone had a question, of course, I, you know, research and see, you know, offer any kind of information that I have that could be helpful to them. So, you know, just like I would do with any other normal business, but I felt a little bit more closer to the situation because it was another woman that, and I really wanted to provide her with resources mm-hmm. or help, you know, because that's what we're about, right? And so, for me, I think it was just being able to offer the knowledge that I have and sharing with them, you know, without, you know, actually looking at it as a business type thing. It was just really mm-hmm. more helpful, giving them tips and things that they should be doing and, you know, just being a helping hand, so to speak.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And we've touched on it a few times in this conversation, but to you specifically, what does it mean for a woman to invest in another woman or to invest in a girl? What does that mean to you?
To me, it's about sharing who you are, you know, your authentic self. And when you can be authentic and be consistent and have faith in who you are and what you're doing, I think that's just, you're setting yourself up for a really big advancement, you know, for big growth. So for me, that's what I get, because those women that I met at those summits that I, you know, those places that I went to, they were willing to invest in me by sharing their knowledge and what they found. And then I also did the same thing, you know, so it was like, it was kind of like, I'm trying to think of an analogy of,
it's like a two-way street.
Like a two-way street. Yeah. You know, you're on the highway and you're exchanging
yes,
information.
Definitely.
So,
yeah. And I like how you mentioned authenticity. I feel like if women are faced with these societal challenges and what they face in the business world, if they are the minority, so we speak,
mm-hmm.
In a male-dominated industry,
mm-hmm.
and keeping true to yourself, because sometimes societal expectations or challenges can often try to shape you into somebody that you know that you're not.
Right.
So how has Women Investing Women that you see encouraged women to keep the authenticity and to not try to falter if there's a challenge that they're faced with?
Right. Well, I think Women Investing Women, we kind of go in as you being your true self. You know, we're not here to judge you or to make you feel like you can't do anything. We just try to give you the resources that you need. We try to feed you the information that you need to grow.
So. Awesome. Love it.
Yeah.
And I also want to ask you from a personal point of view and also a professional point of view, when somebody's faced with fear,
mm-hmm.
How do they overcome that and how do they ensure that they're still going to be successful even if they do face fear?
Well, I always say fear, failure and fear is a fresh start. It's like a do-over,
mm-hmm.
right? So you really shouldn't just focus on the fear. How I combat fear, I look at something, and if I feel in my gut that it is truly what I want to do and I'm passionate about it, I talk myself out of that. I just kind of like do affirmations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have these affirmations that I say every morning because fear is always going to be there, you know? Because that's our makeup, so to speak, you know. We all fear is, as they always say, you know, it is false evidence appearing real.
Mm-hmm.
It's not real. It's what your mind is speaking to say. So I always tell people, try to change your mindset. You wake up every morning, you name out the things that you want to accomplish that day. You put it in the universe, and you just stick with that. And always try to surround yourself around positive people. that is very important, mm-hmm. because that negativity will also increase your fear. So if you're around, you know, you have a few positive people in your life, then that's who you want to connect with.
We love it. And just, we don't have too much time left, but just to finish up, I'd love to know from you, what makes you passionate about what you do?
What makes me passionate? Wow. I just love helping people. Simply put, I mean, I just love helping. That's just my nature. I've always been that type of person. And my passion, I guess, steers from my grandmother. I saw how she was in the neighborhood, in the community. And she was always, everyone knew her by Miss Mary. Mm-hmm. And Miss Mary could always give you a kind word, always could give you a bout of encouragement. And she, if you were hungry, she fed you, you know?
Awesome. So,
and I guess I'm just emulating her.
Awesome. We love it. Thank you so much for being a part of our program today.
Thank you for having me.
It's a great, great pleasure.
I really appreciate it.
And thank you to all of our listeners out there for listening as well. You've been listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. This show is produced by KidStar Radio for the Voice America Kids Network. KidStar Radio, we empower kids.
Thank you for joining us today. Your hosts will be back next Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, for another edition of Women Investing in Women and Girls on the Voice America Kids channel. We'll talk then.
My name is Lindsay Marie from Bookworm. Now from the KidStar Upload of the Month, here is the Whiz Pops and their song, Blue Wave.
Whiz Pops from the KidStar Album of the Month.